you hear from God? Does God speak? And for a lot of people, when you watch this video, Bruce Almighty is one of my favorite movies. It's a fun movie for me. There's a lot of great stuff in the Almighty movies. For this segment, is this not true about us at some point or another in our lives? When God is consistently trying to get a message to us and we just seem to miss it. And I find that I become aware that I have missed what God has been trying to say somewhere down the road. And if I think back and think, you know what, that's what God was saying, had I just responded then. For me, one of the greatest fears that I struggle with in life, one of the greatest fears I deal with, is not the fear of loss. It's not the fear of dying. It's not the fear of hardship or struggle. For me, one of the greatest fears that I struggle with in life is the fear of impending regret. Does anybody else struggle with that? The fear that I'm going to miss something. The fear that there's an opportunity that's not going to have been taken. An opportunity that would have opened doors that are exponentially different than some doors we end up walking through. Now, I'm not saying this is a good fear. I'm just saying this is one of my fears, the fear of regret. And for many people, I think they struggle with the exact same thing. God, what do I do? And you see anxiety just kind of creep over somebody when they have to make a decision. What do I do? Do I do A or do I do B? If I do A, what's going to happen? If I do B, what's going to happen? Am I going to miss something if I choose one or the other? And it's the fear of choosing poorly. The fact is, if we are a people that can hear the voice of God, we eliminate the fear of regret. We eliminate the need to struggle and have anxiety between, oh, what should I do? At a specific time in the world. But he doesn't speak anymore. There are those that believe that God has said all he's going to say, and we're not actually going to see or hear God speak or communicate differently until we either die or Jesus comes back. But, you know, it's kind of he's kind of done for now. And there are those that desperately want to hear from God, and they, similar to this clip, cried out over and over, God, just tell me, and feel let down because they never felt like they heard from God. I love that at the end. That's a pager for some of you who don't know what a pager is. We used to have those pages. Anybody else used to have a pager? Some of you may. There's a few people who maybe still have one. I occasionally run into somebody who has a pager. And, you know, you would get a call, and it would go to your pager, and then your pager would say, well, call this number, and then you go call that number. It was kind of like, you know, before texting. And some of you are going, Mark, why are you explaining this? Everybody knows what a pager is, but you would be surprised how many people don't know what a pager is. So he gets this call. Presumably it's from God, and his response is, I'm not going to call you. I don't know who you are, and if I did, I still wouldn't want to talk to you. And for many of us, if we were really honest, that's where we are spiritually with God. I don't hear God speak, and I'm not sure I know him. I'm not sure I would want to talk to him, even if I did. As we look through Scripture, we cannot escape the fact that God is consistently communicates with people. Consistently. God speaks many times throughout Scripture. Very first time we see God speaking, he spoke, and everything that is in existence came into existence. He did that by speaking. God spoke. He has a voice. He has something to say. He has something to communicate. He spoke, and everything came into existence. We see in the garden that God actually walked with Adam and Eve, which I am incredibly envious of. He walked with Adam and Eve. They talked together. I mean, they had regular conversations with God. How awesome would that be? How much would that just solve a lot of our problems? And a lot of the choices we made, we wish we hadn't made, we never would have. If we could just walk with God in a garden somewhere and just have a conversation with him. What would he say? Would we start the conversation or would he? But God spoke to Adam and Eve. We also see that God spoke to Noah very clearly, told him what he was supposed to do, and he did it. We talked in the last series about Abram, who would later be renamed Abraham. God clearly spoke to him and said, you are to go, pick everything up and go, and you will not only be a blessing, but you will be blessed. We see God speaking to Moses in a lot of different ways. We see God speaking to Moses through nature. We see God speaking to Moses through others. We see God speaking to Moses literally on a mountaintop as he went by. God spoke to Moses. As we jump into the New Testament, because here's where Christians tend to struggle with the Old and New Testament. We study the New Testament, we forget the Old Testament. It's harder to understand. It doesn't really make as much sense. And it doesn't have seemingly as much about Jesus. So the Old Testament, okay, that was just a weird time of the world. But, you know, the New Testament's different. But if we look at the New Testament, when Jesus was baptized, God spoke. When Paul was struggling with what it meant to be religious, God spoke to Paul, and it radically changed his life. The very direction he was headed in life, it changed that. And I can tell you, and I fully believe this 100%, God still speaks to us. But for some of us, we're not sure about that statement. Because we'll say, yes, God speaks to us. But if we were to put someone up here on a microphone and say, what's the last thing God said to you? We would freeze up. Now, I recognize that we communicate with different people in different ways. There are some people that you are so close to, you finish each other's sentences. You guys think it's awesome. Everyone else around watching is highly annoyed to watch you two talk together. But you are so close to somebody, you can finish each other's sentences. Or sometimes you just have a look, right? Deidre and I sometimes have a look. Really, Deidre has the look, and it strikes fear in me when I see it, you know. But sometimes you have those relationships when there's just a look, and it communicates volumes over just that look. There are some relationships that I sit down with, and literally we have to have an hour conversation to communicate 30 seconds worth of information. You have those friends? I mean, we got to talk about it in 5 different ways in 6 different dialects before we come to a conclusion about what something means. And the number one thing that I talk to couples about in counseling, whether it be premarital or post-marriage counseling, is how do we communicate with each other? Communication is something we struggle with today. Now, for a lot of us, you know, we feel very connected and we feel very communicative because we are on Facebook and we are on Twitter and we can email and text. We are communicating. But I will tell you from personal experience, some of the biggest misunderstandings in my life have been through written communication. Anybody else? You send an email. You're in a hurry. You're trying to get out the door, but it comes across as harsh and short and very cruel. And you get a really snarky response and you realize that's not what I meant. And sometimes it is what it meant. And sometimes we just say it's not really what I meant, but we really did. Let's be honest. We struggle with communication. So it makes sense that we struggle in our communication with God. But I will tell you, there is no greater benefit from knowing God than being able to hear from him. To know he's there, to know he cares, and to know he has a word to say to you. As we read through Scripture, we also find God's voice being described. And for some of you, you can attest to this. In John chapter 12, we hear his voice is like thunder. Listen to this. John chapter 12, verse 27 says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus talking to God. And it says, "Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." An audible voice people could hear. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine." So, the reason God speaks is for our sake. There are places that God speaks like thunder. It is unmistakable. What's the word? Unmistakable. I'm making up new words up here. See, I struggle with communication too. There are other times in Scripture that God's voice is very quiet. And I think this is where many of us struggle. And we play mind games with ourselves based on, is this God speaking? Is this my inner voice? You know, what am I hearing? Am I just, you know, do I have water in my ears? What's going on? But he's described as either a still small voice or he's described as a low whisper. 1 Kings chapter 19, this is Elijah, and it says, "There he came to a cave and he lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away.'" Highly stressful situation, which quite honestly is where many of us spend the most amount of time in prayer. When we're stressed out. The stakes are high. We don't know what to do, but we know if we choose poorly, it could go very bad for us. That's where a lot of us pray. We pray in those anxious, just anxiety-ridden moments. And he said, verse 11, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and a strong wind tore the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind." Let that sink in. Massive display of power. But that's not where God was speaking. "And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" Many times God speaks not in those radical moments where it is obvious. I'm a radical moment kind of person. Anybody else in here like radical moments? I'm the kind of beat me over the head so I get the point kind of person, right? If you're not sure if that's true about me, ask Deidre. She will confirm that is true about me. If you can't talk to her, my mom or dad will also be willing to tell you that's the way I operate. I like radical events. I like clarity. I like things to be so clear that there is no way they can be misunderstood. There are times when I communicate with people and I come across really over the top because not only do I like to be communicated to in that way, I want to make sure people are very clear where I stand. And if you're not one of those people that likes those radical events, sometimes it can be a little too much. I like clarity. I like for you to say too much to make sure that there's clarity, than to not say enough and there be ambiguity. Is that a word? Ambiguity? I'm making up words left and right up here. That was a word? Ambiguity. 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 Get a thesaurus up here is what I need. But I prefer those moments. And wouldn't it be awesome if when God spoke, that was the way God spoke. And he just kind of let you have it. I mean, there was an eclipse. The sun disappears. All of a sudden, the earth is still. And there's this booming voice that says, "Mark, don't go to Chick-fil-A for dinner." You know, that's not how it would work. But you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is that you struggle with, wouldn't it be great if that's the way God communicated? We could say, okay. So how does God speak to us? How horrible would it be to have a relationship with someone that never spoke to you? How bad would that be? I'm not talking about the silent treatment because you did something stupid. I'm talking about this person never spoke to you. I want to ask you a series of questions this morning. Some I want you to answer, some I want you to think about. Why is it that some rely on the voice of God, while others don't believe that he still speaks? How is it possible that some live by the very voice of God within their lives? The direction that they take, the choices that they make, the encouragement and the confidence that they have comes from God speaking to them, and yet others believe God does not speak at all anymore. Within kind of church circles, and some of you aren't really from church circles, so you're not really into the know of the way churches work. But in church circles, we've actually split denominations and we've split churches and we've split whole belief systems based on the idea of, does God speak and how does he speak? I mean, we literally will not talk to some people who say God speaks in certain ways, which is crazy to me. As if God has one way of speaking. So why is it that some people, they live by the very word of God, and yet others believe God has said all he has to say, deal with it. Here's what we do know. A lot of people want to hear from God. A lot of people want to hear from God. There's very few people that at no point of their life don't want to hear something from God. It may be a parent in an emergency room with their child and they want to hear from God in that moment. It may be someone who's just lost their job and the bills are on the kitchen table and they need to hear from God in that moment. It may be somebody who just lost their best friend and they need to hear from God in that moment. It may be somebody who's about to make a life-changing decision and they have the support of no one that they know and they feel confident this is what God wants and they need to hear from God. Many people want to hear from God. They may only want to hear from God once in their life. They may want to hear from God every day. They maybe want to hear from God at different points every single day. Many people want to hear from God. A lot of times we want to hear from God when we need him to rescue us from our own choices, don't we? God, you gotta fix this. How do I fix this? And many times that's the only time we go to him. For others, they have learned that, you know, I don't make the best choices. I just don't make the best decisions if it's completely left up to me. And so there is an ongoing search for wisdom. And that wisdom and discernment is found through the voice of God. Many people want to hear that. But unfortunately, many people only want to hear certain things from God, not what God himself wants to speak to them. You see, if I go to God constantly with requests and I expect him to answer my requests and that's all I'm looking for, I'm not concerned with what God wants to communicate. I'm concerned with what I want God to say. And the truth is, many of us will live our life with God that way, but we would never put up with that with anybody else. If anybody else treated us that way, we would distance ourselves. Thinking, I don't know, Mark, I don't know about that. You ever had somebody, the only time they ever talked to you when they wanted something from you? Aren't they fun? And then you have a need, and it's like, where'd they go? You ever have that? You know you do. We've all had that. Let's be honest. Sometimes we are that person. I got a need. Pastors are horrible about this, by the way. I deal with a great amount of guilt and frustration over the fact that I will constantly have conversations with people on the fly, and I know I've got to talk to them about something, and rather than talking about what's going on with them, I'm talking about something I need. There's a constant guilt and frustration with most pastors, just so you know, because our goal is not to sit there and have those conversations. But it breaks a lot of relationships when that becomes the case. Whether it be a pastor or a friend or a coworker or a family member, when we have somebody that only comes to us when they want something, we would never say that's a healthy relationship. Yet we live within a relationship with God like that every single day. It's what I need, God. It's what I want, God. God, I need you to answer this, God. God, I need you to fix this, God. And what if God wants to talk to you about something completely different? At some point, we talked last week about humility. At some point, we recognize if God's got something to say, it trumps what I have to say. At some point, we have to come to that. If you don't come to the point that what God wants or what God thinks or what God chooses is more important and better than what I think and what I want and what I choose, you've never come to the point of saying, I need a Savior. You may not want to go to hell if you're... Theology says either you go to heaven or hell, but you certainly haven't come to a point of saying, God, I can't do it and I need you. You've not come to that point when what you want is more important than what God wants. It just doesn't happen. And that's why when we worship, it's so important for us not to worship the song. It's important not to worship the musician. It's important not to worship the words that make us feel a certain way, but that worship is about God. Because he is worthy to be worshipped. He's the only thing that's important. And when we understand that, it changes the way we communicate with him. We do see people. You see pastors and we see religious folks and we see people who write blogs and write books and are on TV. Totally abuse God's word for their own purposes. We see that. It turns us off. It makes us question who God really is. Because we see how people abuse his word. And at times, we have honestly said, I'm done with it because of what they've done with his word. But if you've ever been taken out of context, and the words that you've used have ever been abused by someone else, you recognize it does not make you a person that shouldn't still be heard. Because someone else has abused your words. That's why I can never be a politician. I don't ever want to be on the news. You know, living in a sound clip world, a soundbite world, I don't ever want to be in the news. Because it doesn't matter what you're talking about. You can be talking about Twinkies all day long, and then all of a sudden you're on the news, and it's all about Skittles. You know what I'm saying? They just tweak it, take your words, and put it together. Sometimes that's really, it'd be better to hear about Twinkies and Skittles than some of the things we hear about on the news. Many people only want to hear certain things from God and not what God wants to speak. Let me ask you this. This is where I do want some feedback. What do you believe God's ultimate hope for us is? What is God's ultimate hope for us? Just throw out some ideas. To know him? Transformation? Be thankful? What else? What is God's hope for us? That what? We would finally get it. See, at some point when you start beginning to think about how does God speak, you have to come to the place of saying, what does God ultimately want for us? See, if God ultimately wants for us to live anxiety-free lives, for one, he wouldn't have allowed all the disciples to be murdered, for one. But if he wanted us to truly live lives without any anxiety whatsoever, he would totally be the God that said, is something bothering you? Let me take that away. One of our favorite shows we watch now, and if you have kids, you know, this may lower your opinion of us in your eyes, but one of our favorite shows right now to watch is The Goldbergs. Anybody else watch The Goldbergs? Okay. Jake does, because you're in my family, and I just said our family watches it. But then we've got one other person that watches The Goldbergs. We love The Goldbergs, and one of the reasons we love it is because I'm a child of that era. I love seeing the VCR and the Betamax on there. I love seeing the clips about whenever you forget to return the rental movie, and you've got like a $150 late fee for a $50 movie. You know, I remember those days. It is so much fun. There was an episode we watched just a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the president's physical fitness test. If you haven't seen it, you need to go watch it. It's great. And the mother in the Goldbergs, she's one of those true helicopter moms. She's not going to let anything bad happen to her son. She's just going to pinch his cheeks and embarrass him wherever she is. And he's concerned because he can't do a pull-up. So he doesn't want to take the test. And so his mom says, certainly, I am not going to allow anything remotely bad to ever happen to you that you're ever uncomfortable. So I'll write you a note to get you out of the president's physical fitness test. That's all I'm going to tell you. You need to go watch the rest of the episode. It's hilarious. But if God was God, and God's perspective on us was that he never ever wanted anything remotely uncomfortable to ever happen to us, he would totally be the God that says, bring me your anxieties and concerns and I'll fix them. Problem is, that's not how God works. He's never worked that way before. God has an ultimate purpose for us. He works and he speaks for his ultimate purpose for us. So the way you understand God's communication to us has everything to do with what you believe God's ultimate hope for you is. Is his ultimate hope for you to be comfortable? No. Is it to be without distress? No. It is possible that God will speak in such a way to take you from a place of comfort and put you into a place of distress. That's totally how God works at times. But he also promises that he'll never put you in such a place of distress that you just can't make it anymore. Because he says, I'm going to be with you. The 23rd Psalm, we read it all the time. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Does that not freak anybody out? That's why I like to bring this up. That freaks me out. God, what are we doing over here? Let's go to the green pastures and beside the still waters. That's where we want to be. Let's put a cabin out there. But let's stay out of the valley of the shadow of death. That just sounds a little creepy. But God says, not only am I going to be there with you, I'm going to actually lead you into it. What is God's ultimate hope for us? And while I don't think there's a simple answer to that question, I don't think there's here's a verse that answers that question. I do believe, in general, it comes down to this, that he wants us to become like Jesus. He wants us to become like Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not real good at being like Jesus on my own. Sometimes in my own head, not so much in anyone else's head. I'm not good at becoming like Jesus on my own. I need intervention. I believe one of God's ultimate purposes is for us to become like him. It's one of the reasons that grace and mercy is so crucial and critical, because we recognize that everyone is on the path somewhere. They're on a journey to becoming like Jesus. And if we judge someone because they're not farther along the journey, then we ignore the fact of how much more we have to go on that journey. So grace and mercy and forgiveness, quite honestly, are so crucial, is that we recognize we are all on a journey to become like Christ. 1 John 2:6 says this, whoever says he abides in me ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Becoming like Jesus. We ought to mimic the way that he walked. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you have been called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In his steps. So God's purpose, his ultimate purpose, is for you to become more like Christ. Or transformation is another word for that, or that we finally get it, which I echo exactly what Wanda was saying. Sometimes I feel like I just don't get it. That we finally get it. Then he's going to communicate to those ends. Not based on what I want him to communicate. Because there are times that I go to God and I'm looking for something, and he may be wanting to talk about something completely different, but I'm honed in right here. This is where God, let's keep all that for later. Right here. This is what I need. And if that's not what's on God's agenda, I'm out. I miss out. Are we willing to accept that God will speak in according with his purposes? That's how God speaks. At some level, and I'm not saying that we don't ever go to God with our anxieties. If I'm in the emergency room with one of my kids, I'm praying. I'm not saying we don't do that. If I'm struggling and we got bills coming in and there's not enough money to pay the bills, I'm praying, God, what do you want us to do here? I mean, we don't want to cancel our Disney trip, but if you can make our bills get paid so we can still do that, that would be cool, right? That's how we communicate with God sometimes. I'm not saying that we don't ever need to do that. God wants us to bring our anxiety. He says, cast your burdens on me. But if that's the only way we want God to speak to us, we're going to miss out on all the other stuff he wants to do in our lives. And at some point along the way, we will say God no longer speaks because he's not speaking what we want. God speaks, and he will speak according with his purposes. Sometimes that speaking in my own personal life, to be quite honest, is incredibly freeing. There are moments, and for many of you, the hardest person on you is you, right? You got people encouraging you, telling you, it's okay, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. But in your own heart, in your own soul, in your own mind, you have this just judgmental spirit towards yourself. And you give yourself a hard time over and over and over again. Sometimes a word from God is just so freeing. You are my child. I love you. You are not perfect. Don't expect yourself to be. It's very freeing. Sometimes that voice of God, it just takes all the anxiety and it dissipates. Sometimes when God speaks to me, it's burdensome. And he says, Mark, I need you to act in this way. And I know that acting in that way is going to bring hardship. And I have to choose, will I listen to God speaking or will I say, cost is too high? Sometimes God speaking will be burdensome. There are times God speaking will also be corrective. There are times that I act fully confident in my own actions and God has to come back and say, you have completely missed it. Scripture talks about his rod and his staff comforting us, and it is not an indication that we should go beat each other. It's an indication that God says, I will speak correctively in your life so that you can fulfill the purpose for which I have for you. I will speak correctively. I have never in my life been excited about being spoken to correctively. Never in my entire life have I been excited about being told I've done something wrong. Never. Sometimes God will speak correctively. Are we willing to listen to those times? As you get older, lots of adults in the room, as you get older, you totally can choose to ignore anyone who would speak correctively in your life. A boss says something you don't like, you can quit, go work somewhere else. That boss says the same thing, you can quit there and go work somewhere else. Next boss says the same thing, you can quit there and go somewhere else. There's a pattern, right? If we choose to ignore when someone speaks correctively. You can choose as an adult to distance yourself from anybody that would speak correctively in your life. The fact is, the church is right now undergoing a huge change. And we started a journey. We really talked a lot about authenticity and openness and being yourself. And the truth is, the church has made a massive swing in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Made a massive swing from you will act like this to just be yourself, be authentic, which I am fully supportive of. However, we cannot ignore the fact that God has called us to mimic the actions of Jesus, which means I cannot be fully authentic if I'm ignoring the actions of Jesus. And so there are times that I need to be spoken correctively to. We all need those times. Will we choose to let God correct us? Or will we distance ourselves? The person that understands what it means to mature and grow understands the role of being corrected in their life. That's why mentorship is mentioned so many times. That's why discipleship is such a key component of being a follower of Jesus. And it's not the kind of discipleship we just grow in memorizing scripture. It's the kind that we allow our lives to be adjusted to become more like Jesus. There are times that God speaks and there is no action required. It is God's words of love. And I find that he often mixes in those times of correction, those times where his words are burdensome. He often mixes in words of love to say, you are my child and I do this because I love you. And regardless, I love you. We should have that in all our relationships. The way we parent, the way we marry, the way we date, the way we have friends and we hang out, should have all of these pieces of those components. But underlying, there are many times God just speaks love. That's why it's so crucial that we learn to communicate love to others as well. John chapter 10 says this, the Jews gathered around him, Jesus, and they said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? This is kind of funny because Jesus has not exactly kept everything a secret. But how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us. Which he's basically been showing them up to this point. A lot of people didn't want to get it. He says, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you. That's how many times was that our conversation right there? I mean, we do this all the time. I told you. I mean, I told you. Deidre and I do this all the time. We have our weekly planning meetings. Do you ever do that? We have our weekly planning meetings of all the things we got to do in the week, which there's no way one planning meeting can do it for us. I mean, we have so many changes in the schedule every single week. We need to have a daily, sometimes hourly planning meeting. And so inevitably, Deidre will have forgotten to have told me something. And so I dropped the ball on something. And the conversation goes something like this. So I didn't know that. Well, I told you! Not exactly how it goes, but kind of that's how it feels that it goes. I told you! Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is deep stuff. And it flies in the face. This is weird stuff in the face of a religious culture. What do we take from this? Number one, God still speaks. Jesus is telling them, I'm still speaking if you bother to listen. I am speaking. If you are of a person who believes God no longer speaks, that is a terrible place to be in life because there's no hope in hearing from God. God still speaks. Jesus says, I'm still speaking. Not everybody hears me, but I'm still speaking. Another thing we pick out of this is that only those who truly believe will accept what he's saying. See, this is where we come into what does it mean to be saved? This is when that humility and that repentance comes in. It says, I'm not worthy, but God is worthy. Only those who believe that who God is, who believe who Jesus is, believe that what he did on the cross was necessary for us, only those will accept his words. An interesting thing that happens, you and I can have relationships with other people. We can hear what they're saying and not accept them. With God, it's a little different. We choose not to accept them, we won't even hear them. What we also find from this is that you have to know Jesus to hear him. You know, we put on Facebook, and I no way judging this. When there's a crisis in your life, you want anything. You're desperate for any help and intervention in a time of crisis. But we often will ask, you know, if you're a praying person, pray. Or if not, if you will just send some positive thoughts my way. What good are those positive thoughts? I'm broke. Well, I'm positively thinking that you'll have some money in your hand. Still empty. What good are those positive thoughts? In our religious culture, we say, God, because he's not judgmental, God, he hears everybody's prayers and he wants to, because he just, people that don't know God don't communicate with God. But I will tell you that God has spoken to every single person who has ever existed. When he speaks, it's an invitation. You and I choose what to do with that invitation. But Jesus says very clearly, you have to know me to hear from me. So that does raise the question, can you be a Christian and still not hear from God? Yes. It would be ridiculous to say, if you really love Jesus, you'd be hearing from God every day. That would be a ridiculous statement to make. There are times that I struggle and I'm not clear about what God is saying. Does it mean I'm not a Christian? No. Does it mean I don't want to know what God's saying? No, it's not what it means. Sometimes it could be that. It does not mean that every single person who is truly a Christian never struggles with hearing God's voice. That is not the case. We also have to understand God speaks in many different ways. God also speaks in many different seasons. And what if we're not ready for what God needs to tell us? There are so many things I want to teach my kids. There are some things I cannot teach them yet. They're not ready. But I got a list, Jake. I got a list. As they grow and mature, there's more I can teach them. Same way with me and God. There's some he can communicate with me. There are some things I got to grow and mature before I'm ready to hear what God has to say. That's the journey that we're on. It is possible to be a Christian and not be hearing from God at a moment that you're desperate to hear from him. It is possible. But recognize in those moments, then, everything is still about God. He is still Lord. He is still in control. God is still at work. Everything is still about God. Recognize in those moments when I'm not hearing what I need to hear, He is still God and He is still worthy. And if He chooses not to respond, that is God's prerogative. He will speak in the way that fulfills His ultimate purpose for me. And there are times I got to be patient with that. And patience is not fun. But there are times we have to be patient for that. We have to recognize in those moments when we don't hear from God that we have to approach Him with humility, not just expectation. And sometimes waiting is the response that we have. The truth is, if you only want to hear one thing from God, you're likely not to hear anything from God. We go back to that friend that whenever you get together, every conversation is about them, right? Is that who we are with God? Every conversation is about us. I'm going to leave you with this. Are we truly open to anything God wants to say to us? Are we truly open? Are we open to corrective words from God? Are we open to loving words from God? Are we open to burdensome words from God? Are we truly open to words from God? As a pastor, one of the things I have to come to grips with is there are some people who just aren't open. And there's nothing I can do about it. I can't make them open. I can't repackage God's words in a more palatable way than God can. And sometimes it's hard when you truly want somebody to hear from God and they don't. You can deal with yourself, though. Are we personally open to anything God may want to say to us? And finally, we hear God when we know Him and we follow Him. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how does God speak? I mean, it's great to talk about the fact that God does speak, but how does He speak? And there's really a number of ways that God can speak to us. And the Bible is certainly one of those. It is not the only one. How does God speak to us? How does God tell us stuff? And so we're going to be breaking that over these next few weeks. But we must, at the bottom line of all of this, we must be more concerned with hearing God than being heard by God. Are we most concerned with hearing God, knowing that God is hearing us? Not easy. This is not easy stuff, but I am telling you, it is worthy stuff. To hear from God, it changes everything. If you're a person that lacks confidence, you can have no greater confidence than have heard confidently from God. If you're trying to make a life change and you're not sure if you can make it, when God speaks, you have all that you need. When you feel alone and there's no one around that cares and no one else that's there to help shoulder your burdens, a word from God changes everything. When you feel like a failure and everyone else knows that you're a failure and you look at your track record and you say, I am just, as much as I've tried, I'm still a failure. A word from God tells you, you are a worthy failure with much success in you. When God speaks, it makes all the religious junk that we tend to go through meaningless because we have heard from God. So over these next few weeks, for some of you, I feel confident that God wants to speak something very unique to you. I feel confident that some of you are in the middle of a difficult decision that God is going to very clearly give you some direction, and yet it's going to be up to you as to whether you will follow that direction. For some of you, you have come very honestly to a place where God does not speak any longer, and you're going to hear something that is going to rattle you. Because God wants you to become like Christ. He wants to speak to you. God wants to fulfill His purpose in your life. God has an ultimate hope for you. He wants to move you in that direction. He's going to speak. And for some of you, it's going to shock you. For some of you, you're going to take this series completely out of context, and you're going to redouble your efforts to get God to do the thing you've been trying to get Him to do for years now. And so you're going to just double down on getting God to do it, and He's still not going to respond any differently than He has already. Can you come to God expecting to hear from Him rather than expecting Him to hear from you? telling you, if you do that, this is what the church needs in the world. This is what we need from leaders in this church. This is what we need from leaders of the church. We need people to hear from God, not just what the latest teaching from the most popular teacher is. We need pastors who can hear from God, but pastors need other people around them that are hearing from God too, because one of the ways we're going to talk about that God speaks to us is through other people. Some people are going to hear from God through you. Stomach that. For some of you, God's going to speak through somebody else. The potential of embracing the idea that God wants to speak to us, it's unfathomable. I believe it. And I hope you do too. Would you pray with me? Father, God, I thank you that you are not a God who is silent. But Lord, I pray for those today that need a word and feel that you are. Lord, I understand that we have abused prayer. We have abused your word. We have abused what it means to follow you. And I call on your grace and your mercy when we have done that. Lord, I pray that you would help every one of us to become more like Christ in all that we do. Pray for those that are here and no one even knows what they're struggling with. Their prayers of desperation are so intense that they're just here just hoping that there will be a breakthrough. And God, I pray that you would give them the peace to be able to accept what you have to say. Lord, in those days that we honestly we're just not willing to listen, I just claim your mercy because we are still on a journey of growth. Father, help us to not only hear from you, but help us to follow you. And help us to do that confidently, because you are our God. You're our Savior. You're our Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.